Good morning. Oh, it's good to hear all of you visiting and just, are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
All right. Well, hopefully when you came in this morning, if you were a guest, you received one of our welcome packets. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll take just a moment and fill that out, drop it in the offering plate as it goes by. That would be helpful to us. Hopefully everybody who came in received a bulletin. Did you all receive a bulletin? All right, hold it up so that we know. Okay, make sure you get one on the way out. There's lots of things that are going to be happening. So tomorrow night, ladies' Bible study is starting here at the church at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. And this is open for all ladies of the church. And you're going to be studying the 10 most misunderstood words in the Bible by Bob Wilkin. And the men already started this last Tuesday. We had great discussion. We didn't even get out of chapter 1. Yet, which is fine. Even if, ladies, you don't get out of chapter 1 tomorrow, it'll be fine. Okay? No problem. You take your time. Wednesday, we are having Joy Lunch at Smoky Mountain Pizza. That's off of Fairview and Locust Grove, and that's at 12 p.m. noon. So if you have time available and you'd like to come and join us, that would be great. Thursday is Awana, and it's Blue and Orange Night. Hey, how about them Broncos last night or yesterday afternoon, right? Won a game, that's really good. Won a game on the Blue, that is really good. And so we're grateful for that. Next Sunday, communion we will be observing, and it will be also an opportunity for you to be able to give to the Benevolent Fund. And remember, that's above your regular giving. And so just keep that in mind. Also, we received an update from Carissa and Kayla. It's on the bulletin board under the missions part of the bulletin board right outside the sanctuary door. So you might want to stop by and read it if you haven't read it already. Also, there's new prayer letters from all of our missionaries. So you might want to take a moment and just stop by and read those at the same time as well. Next Sunday, we're going to start taking pictures for an updated church directory. And this is for all of you who have started attending since the last directory, or those of you who've been here for a long time and you want an updated picture. So see Christine Tremaine to have your picture taken. And then Awana is in.
So if you've been here for a long time, I prefer to have the older picture because we've aged a bunch since then.
That's always an option, Dave. That's always an option. All right. You don't want them to see your receding hairline?
No.
Okay, all right. I didn't say that. You said that. All right. So Awana could use your help with some snack fun-size candy bars. And so this is a great time to be able to pick up a bag because the Halloween candy is out. I know that. Because when I walk down that aisle, it's like, oh, I would like that. Oh, I would like that. Okay? And so as you're shopping, pick up an extra bag of Halloween candy. We just ask that no Halloween wrapping is on the candy bars, okay? So snack size, fun size would be great. No Halloween wrapping. And you can bring them and give them to Becky, or you can put them in the resource room. That would be so much a great way for you to be able to help us. Well, are you ready to worship? You ready to lift your voices in praise to the Lord?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am, Pastor
Sam. Okay. All right. Jared is. You going to let him sing by himself?
I hope not.
I hope not either. Bad. Okay. All right. Let's worship.
Would you all stand up with me? This morning I was getting ready for church and kind of woe is me because I got some crud in my chest. I'm like, wow. I'm not going to sound great this morning, so I need lots of backup. But then I thought, why am I singing these songs at all? Why are we singing the same songs that we've been singing since the 80s? Like, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, 1989 by Universal Music. It was brand new back then, but we've been singing it for going on 30 years, right? Why? Because God is worthy. Because he's worthy of your praise. Because he's worthy of us proclaiming how awesome he is. He's worthy of us reminding ourselves about the truth that he came from heaven to earth to show us so much love that he would die for us on the cross. That's why we sing the same songs.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises over and over. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Yeah, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh, you're holy, and I lift your name on high. Hallelujah, I lift your name on high. Give the Lord a round of applause, come on. He is worthy of your praise today.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God is good, amen. He is worthy of your praise, amen. Are you glad you came to church today? I hope that as we sing these songs, I hope that you will remember there's more than just singing involved with worship. Singing is you and your heart It's you declaring that God is worth your time. He is worth your effort. He is worth your song. Even if your song sounds crummy like mine this morning, even if it's full of coughing and difficulty, God is worth your time. He's worth your effort. Amen? So, as we sing this next song, it's called I Will Praise Him. Now, I'm not singing You Will Praise Him. I'm singing I Will Praise Him. So I hope you will join me as we praise Him together.
Open wide for all my sin. I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, "Will thou be clean?" I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay.
Let's sing the next verse.
Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise Him. Glory, glory to His name.
I will praise Him.
Oh, I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin.
The next verse, final verse.
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. For His blood can wash away each stain. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Shadow of turning with Thee. Now changes not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Yes, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, thy hand hath provided. Great, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Lord, many of us, all of us really, could count so many ways that you have been faithful, more faithful than the rising sun. You come through for us when we think no one will come through for us. You are there when everyone else forsakes us. You show your love to us when others don't show love. Lord, we thank you for your amazing faithfulness. We remember how amazing you are. Thank you, Lord. As we take a few minutes and look into your scripture, into the word, God, would you teach us today? Would you teach us more about you, more of your ways? Would you touch our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we remind you of just how much God really loves us. I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify, hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really
Jesus, His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. This is our hope. The cross it has spoken. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord. For this is our hope. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Whoa, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. God really loves us.
Are you having a hard time believing that this morning? That God really loves us? I hope not, because He really does. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the whole world. He loved us enough to send His Son to die on a cross, to be our Savior. That's love. That's grace. That's mercy. And if you believe Him as Savior, that's yours. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 30. And children, come on down and we'll get you ready for children's church. Let's pray. Father, You really do love us. And Father, if You didn't do any more than show Your love for us by sending Your Son to die on a cross for us, so that we could be reconciled back to You, so that we could enjoy a gift of eternal life with You someday, so that we could have forgiveness of our sins, so that we would be able to know how to live a life that pleases You, it would be enough. It would be more than enough. But Father, You bless us in so many ways to be able to demonstrate to us how much over and over again You love us. So Father, I pray this morning that our hearts will just resound with the fact that You love us. Father, may it make a difference, not just in the way we've sang, not just in the way that we pray, but Father, may it make a difference in the way now we listen to Your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. Well, many of you have been talking about how much you enjoy this kind of detour that we've been taking in our study of Exodus on the tabernacle and all of the furnishings of the tabernacle. And some of you have even said something that I felt was really pretty profound. And you said, you know, the thing that I've learned, Pastor, is that God, when he does something, he does it intentionally. It's not accidental. You know, the Bible tells us that God is not a God of disorder. He's not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. And we can look at that even as we have been studying the book of Exodus, even as we've studied in the past books from the Old Testament. All of this points to us that God is intentional. God has a plan. And that ought to give us hope for the future. Because when God tells us in his word what's going to happen in the future, it's not happenstance. It is intentional. It's going to happen just exactly the way that he said that it was going to happen. He could come at any time. He could come before this sermon is over. Some of you might be praying for that. He could come before the evening arrives. He could come before you lay your head down on your pillow tonight to go to sleep. He is intentional. Everything that he's done has been intentional. Everything he is doing is intentional. Everything he will continue to do is intentional. And on that, we can depend. Isn't that good? Isn't that good stuff? That's not the message this morning. I just threw that in for free. I won't even charge you extra. Okay? As soon as the priest entered the holy place, their sense of smell kicks in. First, they smell the pure olive oil, and then the aroma of sweet incense from this altar of incense that we're going to learn about this morning here in Exodus chapter 30. Whenever the priest would light the golden lampstand, we talked about that last week, they would also burn incense. The priest would take a golden censer, which is nothing more than a shallow bowl, and gather burning coals from the altar of sacrifice. Those coals would be put inside the altar of incense, and then they would put the incense on the altar. And then the smoke and the smell would then rise as a symbol of our prayers going up to heaven. Now, there are many thoughts about prayer. Junior goes to men's Bible study. He listens intently to the lesson and discussion, and at the close of the meeting, the pastor asks for prayer request. Junior stands up and says, "Pastor, I need you to pray for my hearing." The pastor goes over to Junior. The pastor has Junior kneel on the floor. He puts his right finger in Junior's left ear and his left hand on top of Junior's head, and the pastor prays for a few moments. Then he puts his left finger in Junior's right ear and his right hand on top of Junior's head and prays some more. When the preacher finishes, he asks, "Junior, how's your hearing now?" Junior replies, "I don't know, preacher. It ain't till next Wednesday." Wow, I thought that was good. So we've been studying the tabernacle and looking at each piece of the furniture within the walls of the tabernacle. I think the lawyer over here thought it was really good. See? So remember that the tabernacle was a large portable tent structure that served as the center of worship for the Israelites as they were making their way back to Canaan. It was also the reminder of God's presence among his people. Now remember, the tabernacle had three distinct areas. The outer court, that was everything outside the white linen fence. And then when you came through the door, when you came through the curtain, on the east end of the tabernacle, and it was always in the same place, it was always on the east end of the tabernacle, you entered into the holy place, but only the priest could be in the holy place. So the holy place was the start of the tabernacle proper and was 30 feet long by 15 feet wide, and you can kind of get a sense of that from the model back on the back table. It held the altar of sacrifice and the bronze wash basin. It held the golden lampstand, the table of presents or showbread, and we're going to talk about that next week, and the altar of incense. This is the area where the priest performed their daily responsibilities. And then there was the Holy of Holies. And this area is 15 feet square. And this is the area where only the high priest could enter once a year to spread the blood on the mercy seat of God on the Day of Atonement. And also inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. This morning, as I've already said, we're going to be looking at the altar of incense, and we're going to see how this altar of incense relates to our prayer. So hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 30. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 10. You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. Now remember, a cubit is 18 inches. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and around its sides and its horns. And you shall make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make 2 golden rings for it. Under its molding on 2 opposite sides of it, you shall make them, and they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it in front of the veil that is above the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it, a regular incense offering before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. With the blood of the sin offering of the atonement, he shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Now the priest would take a censer full of burning coals from the altar of sacrifice and then ignite the incense by sprinkling over the coals on the altar of incense. You kind of have a good picture of that in the front of your bulletin this morning. And then a thick cloud of smoke moved upward, filling the tabernacle. And this was a beautiful picture to the priest of Israel's prayers to God. Now in the Bible, burning incense is often a picture of prayer. Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "And when he had taken the scroll," when Jesus had taken the scroll, "the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So whenever the priest burned the incense, it was served as a call of prayer for the people of God. We see that in Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. "Now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense." So I think the Bible makes it pretty clear that the burning of incense is a picture of our prayers being offered up to God. So let's spend a few moments and let's look at this altar of incense. Let's look at its appearance. The altar of incense was 36 inches high and 18 inches square. Now it is much smaller than the altar of sacrifice. It was made of acacia wood and covered in gold. 4 horns protruded from the 4 corners of the altar of incense. There was a gold rim or crown that circled the top with gold rings at each corner. Acacia wood poles were also covered in gold and would be inserted through the rings to carry it. The altar of incense was placed close to the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Remember that veil? The veil that was said to have been so thick that 2 teams of oxen could not tear it apart. Yeah, that same veil that in the temple, when Jesus died on the cross, when he cried from the cross, "It is finished," that same veil was torn in two from the top to the bottom. That veil. The altar of incense was placed close to that veil in the tabernacle and then later on into the temples. The closest the priests could come to God every day was when they ministered at the altar of incense. And you know, as I thought about that, an interesting thought came to me that we find closeness to God when we come to God through prayer. I think a few messages back, we talked about the fact that we have this access to God. We have this ability, every single one of us, to be able to go directly to God through the avenue of prayer. But yet, we don't. But yet, we choose not to. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. And God gave a very specific recipe for this incense. We see that in verses 34 through 38. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and ancha and gobanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be an equal part, and make an increase blended as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. You shall beat some of it very small and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be most holy for you. In the incense that you shall make according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people." So God gave very specific instructions, a very specific recipe for this incense. He says to take stacte. Stacte is a sweet sap that comes from the storax tree, which is similar to a poplar tree that grew pretty common in the Middle East. And then there was ancha. In the Hebrew, this is the word for shell. This comes from the shell of a mollusk and was found in the Red Sea. Oh, remember the Red Sea? What happened at the Red Sea? God showed his power, didn't he? The people prayed and said, "What are we going to do?" And God said to Moses, "Lift up your staff above your head." And when Moses did that, God parted the Red Sea. I read this thing the other day about how Moses parted the Red Sea. And I thought, that wasn't Moses. That was God. God parted the Red Sea. All Moses did was what? Do what God instructed him to do. God parted the Red Sea. And remember the Israelites went across on dry land? And so as they were walking through this seabed on dry land and they were looking around them, what do you think they saw? Shells of this mollusk. And God just put it in their hearts, right, to pick up these shells and to carry them with them. So God already knew that they had what? These shells at their disposal. Everything that God does is what? Intentional. It's not accidental. And when this shell is burned, it gives off a sweet-smelling fragrance. And then there's gobanum. This is a resin that looks like a milk sap and has a balsamic odor. And it comes from the Syrian fennel plant. And then there was frankincense, which was a white gum that comes from the Selah tree in Arabia. So to minister properly, the priest had to follow two instructions very closely. Use the right fire. The fire for the altar of incense could only be used from the coals, from the fire, from the altar of sacrifice. They couldn't relight any other way this fire at the altar of incense. They had to get the fire from the altar of sacrifice. If they did, they were breaking God's instructions. They were not following his instructions. That's a good lesson for us. Because throughout his word, God has given us, as believers, instructions for us to be able to follow. And how often do we say, I know that's what the Bible says, but you know what? I'm going to do my own thing. I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't really agree with that. Oh, I know that's what God expects, but you know what? I don't really care. What a sad, sad attitude sometimes we get when it comes to following God's instructions. These priests had to follow God's instructions to a T. Not only did they have to use the right fire, they had to use the right ingredients. And the ingredients were for the altar of incense. And this incense needed to be mixed with salt, because salt is a symbol of purity. Let's look at something else about this altar of incense. It's a picture of Jesus. Acacia wood covered in gold was a picture of Jesus's humanity. The Creator God took on flesh and bone and joined sinful humanity so that through his shed blood we might have eternal life with him, have our sins forgiven, and be reconciled to God. Didn't we sing some praise songs this morning that reminded us of that? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 17 says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Again, let me remind you that word propitiation means satisfaction. Jesus, when he came to this earth, when he left the splendor and the glory of heaven and came to this earth and took on flesh and bone and then went to the cross to be our Savior because he's the only one who could. Because even though he took on flesh and bone, he did it without sin. And as he went to that cross to be our Savior, he satisfied God's requirement for the payment of sin. And that payment was death. And only Jesus could be the propitiation. Only Jesus could be the satisfaction of that. So what is it that makes our prayers effective? Well, the Bible tells us that God's Spirit intercedes for us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Now, what is this saying? This is saying that the Spirit intercedes for us in the fact that as human beings, we are limited in the way that we ought to pray. We think we know how to pray. But this is telling us that when we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, wraps them up in a package that is acceptable to God, and he brings them to God on our behalf. And God hears our prayers. God knows our prayers. And then he, because the Holy Spirit has interceded with us, he brings his answers to our hearts and to our lives. Jesus also intercedes for us. He is our advocate. Now, this word advocate is a legal term. And so this tells us that Jesus today is representing us in heaven, pleading our case. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 25 says, "But he holds his priesthood permanently." Who's the he? Who's the his? Jesus. "But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because Jesus continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Now, wait a minute. How could Jesus live to make intercession for us as believers? Didn't he die? Wasn't he buried? Yeah, but what happened 3 days later? He was resurrected. Exactly. And then what happened 40 days after his resurrection? He ascended back into heaven to be with his Father. And he's alive there right now. And if he was to come today, we would be standing in his presence because he is alive. And one of his responsibilities is to intercede on our behalf. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that Satan roams to and fro across this whole earth. And sometimes he, in his roaming, sometimes he makes his way to heaven. And he goes before God. And God says, where have you been? And Satan says, oh, I've been to and fro over all of the earth. And God says, wow, that's really great. So what's new? Oh, God, that Pastor Sam, did you just hear what he said? Did you just see his tone of voice? Did you just see his attitude displayed? Did you just hear what it, and he claims to be a believer? And he claims to be one of yours? And he claims that you have called him and appointed him to be a preacher? And this is what he does? And meantime, while that conversation is going on, Jesus is sitting on a throne at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus says, just a minute. Father, I died on the cross for Pastor Sam. I died for those sinful attitudes. I died for those sinful words. They were cleansed by the blood that I shed on the cross. And the moment that he believed in me as Savior, it was forgiven. And God says, that's right. Get out of here, Satan. Go wander to and fro. Jesus intercedes before the Father on our behalf. And this altar of incense was placed close to the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Why is this important? Because of Jesus' death on the cross, there's no longer a veil separating us from the throne of God. When Jesus said, it is finished, that veil was torn in two from the top to the bottom. That veil that was so thick that not even two teams of oxen could pull it apart. But God did that so that we no longer needed a priest. We no longer needed a mediator. We could go to God directly, 24/7. We could go to God anytime, anywhere, about anything. Because Jesus is our advocate. Because Jesus is our priest. And he's a priest who continues that ministry and will continue that ministry forever and ever and ever. Someday we will be in the very presence of God and we won't have to pray with some barrier of roof or sky. We'll be able to go right into his presence and to stand in front of him face to face. And he will know. He will know what's on our heart. And he will know what's on our mind. And he'll be able to say, it's okay. You're with me now. No more worries. No more concerns. No more anxiousness. No more stress. You're with me now. No more sickness. No more pain. No more death. No more sorrow. No more saying goodbye. Because we will be in his very presence. We now have access to the throne of God through him. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, we have access to God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. What did he do on the cross? His flesh was broken. His blood was shed so that he could be the propitiation, the satisfaction for you, for me, for the whole world. This altar of incense, it's also a picture of prayer. And again, we have so many various ideas about prayer. There was a young boy who was observed by a minister in church praying intensely. But much to the preacher's surprise, he was also heard to say from time to time, Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo. So the preacher approached the boy after he had finished his prayer and said, Son, I was pleased to see you praying with such passion. But tell me, why did you keep saying Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo? The boy replied, Well, you see, sir, I just finished taking my geography test in school, and I have been praying for the Lord to make Tokyo the capital of France. We have so many different ideas about prayer. Now remember, the priests were instructed not to use this altar for anything but burning incense, because no other substitute would be acceptable. And there is no substitute for prayer. But prayer is precious, as God desires for us to be for us as believers. Prayer can be a struggle. We all struggle with prayer. We struggle to find time in our schedule for prayer. We wonder if prayer really works. I don't know how many times, if I had $5 for every time that somebody came to me and said, "Pastor, will you pray for me about this? Will you pray with me about this?" And I would say, "Absolutely." And we would pray pretty much right there, and I would go on and I would pray throughout the day, or I would pray throughout the week, or I would pray forever, however long it needs, until that person came back and said, "God answered my prayer." And it's always interesting, because when they come, they would say, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but God answered my prayer." And it's like, why won't I believe that? We've been praying, right? And when we pray, we what? Expect God to answer. Now, God answers, but sometimes we don't like his answer. Oh, we like it when he says yes, right? That's always cool. Oh, God answered my prayer, and he answered it. Yes, that is really good. Sometimes God says no, and we can live with that because we know God answered, right? But sometimes God says, just wait. We don't like that part, because we are not a waiting people. We do. Not waiting, waiting. We don't like the wait. We want the answer now. In fact, actually, we wanted the answer before we ever started praying. And then sometimes God says, my grace is sufficient. You just hide in my grace. You just walk in my grace. You just move in my grace. And I'll take care of the rest. Oh, we don't like that either, because we think what? We have to do something, right? We can't just wait indefinitely for God to be able to do it. But in God's time, in God's way, in God's will, he will what? Answer our prayers. He always answers our prayers. We struggle to find time in our schedule for prayer. We wonder if prayer really works. And then when God does answer our prayer, we can't wait to what? Say to somebody, you'll never believe this, God answered my prayer. It's like, why don't we believe that? We asked him, right? We were calling on him to be able to pray. And then sometimes we wonder if God really hears our prayers. What have we learned this morning? God really hears our prayers. Now, there are some strong encouragements for prayer based on the tabernacle. The priests were to ignite the incense when? Twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. How many of us start our day with prayer? How many times does the alarm go off? We jump out of bed, we get ready for our day, we get into our day, and what? We haven't even prayed. Or we might sit down and eat a little bit of breakfast, and we might say, thank you, God, for the food, and then go on with the rest of our activities. How many times at the end of the day, we get ready to lay our head down on the pillow, we lay our head down on the pillow, we start to talk to anybody that might be close to us, and before long, we're what? We haven't even prayed. Haven't even prayed. The priests were supposed to ignite the incense how many times a day? Twice. Once in the morning, once in the evening. What a great lesson that is for us. You know, in the book of Acts, we read of the disciples keeping morning and evening hours of prayer, both in the temple and in their homes. And there are plenty of examples in God's word of people who got up early in the morning to pray. Samuel's parents, Daniel, Hezekiah, Job, David, Jesus. There are examples of people who prayed in the evening. David, Daniel, Jesus spent whole nights in prayer. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says, in these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. The incense burned 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, so that the pleasing aroma was sent to God as his presence was above the tabernacle. God instructs us to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, does that mean that we 24/7 we walk around with our heads bowed and our hands folded and our eyes closed? No. Okay? Don't do that when you're driving on the freeway. I pray a lot when I'm driving on the freeway. Actually, I pray a lot when I'm driving down Fairview or Cloverdale or you pick a street anymore in Boise. I pray a lot. Does it mean my eyes are closed? Nope. Does it mean my hands are nope. Because you see, prayer isn't about posture. Prayer is about attitude. And what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 is telling us is that we need to be 24/7 in an attitude of prayer, knowing that whatever it is that comes our way, we can go to God in prayer. We can go to God in prayer right then. But what do? We wait. What do we try to do? We try to maneuver the circumstances. We try to figure out how in the world are we going to get ourselves around this, or how in the world are we going to get ourselves out of this. And finally, when we come to the end of our rope and we've messed it up so much, then we say, God, I don't know what else to do. When in the first place, we should have said it to God, God, I don't know why this has come, but I don't know what to do. So I'm giving it to you. And I know that in your time, in your way, you're going to work through this. But what do we try to do? We try to do it in our own strength. And usually what happens, we make it worse. And then when it's at its worst, we give it to God. And we say, okay, God, now you can make it better. When in the first place, we should have what? Started praying. Because we can always, 24/7, be in an attitude of prayer. So what do we learn? Well, I think it's good for us to be able to look at Moses' description as he ends this description of the altar of incense and its purpose and picture of prayer in this statement. It is most holy to the Lord. It is most holy to the Lord. It is most holy to the Lord. So are the prayers we offer up to God. So take advantage of the opportunity for prayer. Pray with confidence and pray for grace and mercy in your time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are." Who's that one? Jesus. "Yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Father, as we offer up our prayers to you, may they be like the incense that rose from the altar of incense. Father, may they be a sweet-smelling aroma. Father, may we understand how important it is for us to continue to be in that attitude of prayer, that at any time we can go to you in prayer. About anything, we can bring to you in prayer. And Father, you will hear our prayers, and you will answer our prayers, because they've been offered up to you. Father, thank you for giving Jesus to us, not only as our Savior, but as our High Priest. Thank you for giving us your Spirit that intercedes for us. Thank you for giving us Jesus who intercedes for us. Father, may we here at Lake Hazel Bible Church be known as a people of prayer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, we got one last song. Get up on your feet. Move around just a little bit. Get ready for one last hurrah. This song says, "I give you my heart. This is my desire to honor you." I hope that as we go out this week and as we go into the world, as we take that attitude of prayer with us, that we will be reminded, Lord, we do this for you. We do this because of you. So we give it to you.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. In you, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire. This is my desire to honor you every day. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within me, I give you praise. It is in you, it is in you, yeah. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me, yeah. Oh.